Before we get started on our message for today, a couple of things that I'd like to clarify. One of the things, as far as the women's retreat that is coming up in October, God woke me up, and I remember the day because it's my oldest daughter's birthday, April 25th. God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I know that if I wake up and I roll over and the clock says 3 o'clock in the morning, that is God saying, get up, I got something to say. And so I got out of bed, and I just felt him impress on my heart that he wanted me to speak to the ladies for the retreat. And just began to download just a bunch of things. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I wrote all these things down. And I thought, you know, I don't really want to take one of the evening sessions or the kickoff session at the women's retreat to speak this message. And so out of that was birthed the week before, a Saturday night, where I am going to share that. And it's not just for the women who are going to the retreat. I believe that this message is for all women. And so I would like to make sure that that is clarified, that you, everybody, even if you don't plan on going to the retreat, excuse me, I believe that God has something for you on that night. So I would like to invite you to come out to that. Also, let's just go ahead and get into our message. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would be here, that you would anoint this message, that you would give it clarity, help us to receive it, and give us understanding, a greater understanding of who you are and what you have done in our lives. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. My message today is on baptism, because we are going to have a baptism coming up in August, and we're also going to have a baptism this Tuesday at Boulder Beach for Terry and Greg Munter, because he got a full-time job down in New Mexico, so they're going to be leaving us, unfortunately. And one of the things that they've never done is they've never been baptized. And the last time that they're going to be together for sure is this coming week. So I wanted to make sure that we gave them that opportunity. They came and asked me, and I said, sure, let's just go ahead and do it. So Tuesday night, we're going to be at Boulder Beach and baptize Terry and Greg Munter. And I think that's an awesome thing. Terry has taught BSF. She's been an incredible Bible teacher for a long time, and she just feels that God is saying, you know what, now's the time. Now's the time. And so today, my message is on baptism, because there are a lot of teachings out there on what baptism is, what it means, what it doesn't mean, how you do it, how you don't do it. Do you baptize babies? Do you not baptize babies? And so today, I thought, you know what? How about we go into the scripture and see what the scripture says about baptism? Because there's a lot of teaching out there on biblical principles that are not necessarily correct teaching. There are a lot of denominations. Baptists were built upon the importance of baptism in a new believer's life. And so the Catholics, they have a completely different idea of what baptism means and the importance of it. So I thought, well, let's just go into the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says, and then you guys can make your own decision on baptism. So what is baptism? What I did is I went through and I wrote down the most frequently asked questions that people have as far as baptism. And so we're just going to go through these questions one by one. Number one, what is baptism? Well, the Greek word is baptisma, and it simply means immersion or submersion. It comes from the root word bapto, which means to be dipped in. So it simply means to be immersed in something. That's what baptism means. Okay? So let's get that out of the way. What does it mean specifically in the life of a believer? And I went into a Blue Letter Bible, and it had a perfect description of what baptism is. And it says this: it is a rite of immersion in water, as commanded by Christ, by which one, after confessing his sins and professing his faith in Christ, having been born again by the Holy Spirit unto a new life, identifies publicly with the fellowship of Christ and the church. The key word here is identification. When you become baptized in the scriptures, when a person got baptized, they identified with three different things. The first thing that they identified with and that baptism symbolizes was total identification with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. You are symbolically identifying yourself with the death of Jesus Christ. When he died for our sins, right before that, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, can you, meaning the apostles and the disciples that were there, can you go through the baptism that I am about to go through? His baptism was the death of sin. He was taking on himself all of the sins of everyone who has ever lived. And according to the Old Testament, in order for sins to be atoned for, there had to be a shedding of blood and death. They didn't offer up a sacrifice, not kill it, and then just let it go. In order for that sacrifice to cover those sins, it had to die and its blood was spilt. Jesus had to die, spilling his own blood to atone for our sins. So we are identifying. When someone got baptized in the New Testament, they were identifying with the death of Christ. That is also symbolic when you go under the water. Just as Christ was put in the ground after he was dead, we are identifying with him as we go under the water. The next identification, we are identifying with his burial when we go under the water, and when we come out of the water, we are identifying with his resurrection. So we die with him, we're buried with him, and then we are resurrected with him, a new life. Does that make sense? Baptism also symbolizes our identification with the body of Christ. When you publicly get baptized, you are saying, I am now one of his kids. And I am declaring it to everyone who is standing here. I am part of his family now. It was a public declaration of, I am going to bow my knee and give my life to Jesus Christ. I believe what he said, I believe what he did, and now I am associating with him. The third thing it symbolizes is cleansing from sin. When you wanted to clean something in the New Testament era, you went down to the river and you washed it in the river. Same thing. We identify with the symbolism of our sins being cleansed, not just being removed like the Old Testament sacrifices did. That just covered up their sins. Why? Because they had to keep doing it over and over again. Because the sacrifices weren't perfect. They had to do it over and over again. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant no more. The penalty and the payment of sin has been taken care of for those who believe in me. So we identify and we are cleansed when we come up out of the water. Does that make sense? Do I need to repeat myself? Seriously? All right. Number three, is it important to be baptized? There's a lot of different teaching on that. Is it important to be baptized? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, this is the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And he said, Wait in Jerusalem because I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you a counselor, which was the Holy Spirit. But this is the last thing that he told them. Now, when you tell your children certain things and you send them on their way, you leave the most important thing for last. Don't forget, I want you to do this. Jesus did the same thing with his disciples. Remember to do this. And starting in 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. So Jesus says, he gives them three things to do. First one, make disciples. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we are not about the numbers. We are about people growing individually. We are about teaching people what it means to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. Make disciples. The second thing that he said, baptize them. Kind of important. Jesus said, make disciples and baptize. The third thing he said, teach them to be obedient in everything. So make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Baptism was very important because back then, you could lose your life for being a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you know what? If you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father. So it was one of the things that he said, make sure you do this. And it was publicly. You were declaring publicly before everyone that I am throwing my hat into the ring with this Messiah. So it was very important to Jesus that we baptize. One of the last three things that he said to do. So number four, is it a salvation issue? And when I'm talking about a salvation issue, I'm saying if you don't get baptized, do you lose your salvation? So we need to look in the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and before we go into these scriptures, we need to look at the work of God, the Bible, as a whole. It is an entire compilation of letters inspired by the Holy Spirit given to us so that we can understand who God is and who we are. Amen? And so a lot of people like to take one verse out of the Bible and ignore a lot of other verses that talk about the very same thing. So you need to go in and you need to look at it as a full compilation. So Peter, this is Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He had just given this incredible discourse to all of these Jews that were standing around. And he was saying, you know what? You crucified the Messiah. God sent the Messiah. You had him crucified, according to the scriptures, by the way. And he is the only way to the Father. And so they're like, what then should we do? This is a new teaching. What are we supposed to do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is Peter. When they said, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every single one of you. Okay? So if I was just going to talk about baptism and how important it is, and it says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then my teaching should be baptism is a salvation issue. Does that make sense? Because Peter says, repent and be baptized. However, in Acts chapter 3, verses 19, he has some other people come to him and say, what shall we do? And this is Peter as well, but he says in verse 19 of chapter 3, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. He says nothing about being baptized. He doesn't say a word about it. He says, repent and turn to God. So now we're looking at it going, well, if baptism were a salvation issue, then surely he would have said, repent, be baptized, and turn to God for your salvation. But he doesn't. He doesn't list it in this one. So what we have is repent and be baptized. Well, let's go down to John chapter 5, verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So this is the Messiah himself saying, whoever believes in me has eternal life. He said nothing about baptism. And by the way, Jesus was baptized. Was he not? He went to John the Baptist, and he says, no, you need to baptize me. And John says, no. If anything, you need to baptize me. And Jesus says, no, I need to be baptized by you. And it was the beginning of his earthly ministry. So Jesus didn't even say anything about being baptized. So in three different verses, two of them by Paul, and one by, or two by Peter, and one by Jesus, he says, repent and be baptized. And then it also says, repent and turn to God. Then another one says, hear and believe. Three different things. And the one verse to me that proves that baptism is not a salvation issue is that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, the thief who said, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I deserve to be up here, but you do not. And Jesus' reply to him was, your sins are forgiven. You will be with me in paradise. I guarantee he had never been baptized. And there was no opportunity for him to be baptized because he was already hanging on a cross. But Jesus says, you know what? It's your heart. It is your heart condition and God's grace through faith that you are saved. I cannot stand up here and tell you that baptism is a salvation issue. I do not believe that it is. However, it is one of the three things that God or Jesus said that were of utmost importance before he left. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and this puts it to rest, I believe. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. It is a free gift by grace from God through faith. Nothing added to it. I believe it is important that we do repent. I believe it is important that we do turn to God. I do believe it is important that we profess with our mouths that we are part of his family. I do believe it is important that we get baptized, but it is not a salvation issue. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, let's go. What about infant baptism? How many of you were baptized as an infant? Okay, I was baptized into the Catholic Church. In fact, they find it so important that when you go over to Europe and you see these huge Catholic churches, I mean, they're just absolutely amazing. And in fact, the Leaning Tower of Pisa has a church by it, which I didn't know. I just thought it was just a tower by itself. And right next to the church is what they call the baptistry. And it is as ornate as the church is, but it's a little bit smaller. And when you go to different parts of Paris and Italy, everywhere usually that there is a Catholic church, there is also a Catholic baptistry. And the reason that they had those was the churches were not open all of the time, but the baptistries were, because the mortality rate of children was so high. Many children died during the pregnancy or soon afterwards. And the Catholic Church teaches that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. If a child was not baptized, they believe that child was damned to hell. And so these baptistries stayed open all of the time and always had a priest in there waiting for someone to bring their child in, because they believed if their child died before they got it baptized, it would not spend eternity in heaven with God. So it was very, very important to them. And it remains important today in the Catholic Church that babies get baptized. I've had people call me that I've worked with or whatever, and they've said, we just had our baby and we'd like to have it baptized. And I let them know, we don't baptize infants, but we do dedicate them. We believe that there is a biblical foundation for dedicating the baby. But as far as baptism, the teaching of infant baptism can actually be detrimental. And here's one of the things that it says. It says the clear teaching of Scripture is that all who believe in Christ as Savior and Lord should be baptized in obedience to Christ. The New Testament order is always. Every time someone got baptized in the New Testament, this is the order that always followed. First, it was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, it was the acceptance of the message by faith on the part of the hearers. And then it was baptism. So it was the preaching of the word, it was the acceptance of the word, and then the repentance, and then the baptism. Children don't understand what they're being baptized for. They don't understand. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "But when they believed, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." When they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news, then they accepted it, then they got baptized. There is no record of infant baptism in the Scriptures. None. Zero. And in fact, it says, going beyond that, and I found this article and I thought it was excellent. It says, "We can argue that infant baptism is potentially detrimental. If an adult mistakenly assumes that because he was baptized as an infant, he possesses salvation and is a member of Christ's church, then he is sadly deceived. There is no grace imparted in the physical act of baptism apart from the faith of the one being baptized. To count on one's infant baptism as the basis for standing before God is to trust in a false hope." It's actually a very dangerous teaching. Because when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, I went to parochial school for 8 years. I was an altar boy. I did all of that stuff. I went through confirmation, communion, all of those things, all of those rites of the Catholic Church. And one of them that I had was that I was baptized as an infant. And I was taught for 8 years that my salvation was secure because I had been baptized into the church. That was the stamp. That was the path into heaven. And so I lived my life however I wanted to live my life. I did whatever I wanted to do. Even though it was against God's word, I lived my life the way I wanted to, based upon the fact that I was already going to heaven. Because someone had sprinkled my head with water when I was a baby. That is a dangerous teaching. If you are putting your faith in an act that is how you get your salvation, you're in a very dangerous place. Amen? Amen. All right. How old should a child be before they're baptized? This all depends on the maturity of the child. Some children at age 5, 6, or 7 understand what it is that Jesus has done for them. And they are willing to do that, and they understand what it means. Other people, they don't get it for a long time. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, "You know what? I want to be baptized. I was baptized as a kid, but I didn't understand what I was doing. I just did it because my friends did it at camp or whatever, but didn't understand what it meant. They didn't understand that it was identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they come and they say, "I'd like to get baptized because I understand now what it means." So as far as how old the person needs to be, they need to understand that they are guilty of sin, that they suffer the penalty, which is death, and that they accept the gift of grace given by God through His Son to take care of those sins, to wipe them away. And that they understand that they are being called to a new life, that they are a new creation in Christ. Let the old pass away. There's a new one coming. They need to be able to understand that. I've had people come to me and say, "Oh, I want my kid to be baptized." Well, you know what? That's great. But if they don't understand the process, it means nothing. They need to be able to understand what's going on. What about multiple baptisms? I kind of just alluded to that. There's really no evidence of multiple baptisms in the scriptures. If you were baptized and you understood, some people come to me and says, well, you know, I'd like to get baptized again because the last one didn't stick. It's like, oh, well, no. There is the repentance part. There is also the obedience part. Remember, Jesus said, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to be obedient in everything. Some people just go, well, that's my get out of hell free card, and I'll just go ahead and do it, and then live your life however you want. There's no difference. The obedience part is very important. The repentance part is very important. You need to understand that your sins are no longer being counted against you. So because you receive the grace of God that you continue to sin, Paul says, absolutely not. No, there is a repentance part. There is an obedience part. It's not some magical incantation where all of a sudden you're a super saint. No, it's an outward expression of what God has done on the inside. It is a public announcement that I am now a child of God. And I accept Jesus' death on the cross. His shed blood has now covered my sins, has removed my sins, and that I am now one of his kids. It's not some special thing. It is special, but it's not a magical moment. There is no power given or imparted during baptism. That power came when you professed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Holy Spirit began to live inside of you. That's the power. The baptism is simply you saying to everyone else, I am identifying with Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. So what is the proper mode of baptism? There are some people who sprinkle. There are some people who dip three times. There are certain people who say it doesn't, there's actually a teaching out there that says if you don't baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said to do, that you are not saved. That is that seal. Others say, no, you need to baptize in the name of Jesus of Nazareth because it was done in that. It was talked about in the Bible as well. Then there's other people that say, no, you need to dip every time that you say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you do it wrong, then it doesn't work. It's like, oh, come on, people. Really? The Greek word for baptism is immersion or submersion. However, I have baptized some people who are deathly afraid of putting their face underneath the water. I've poured water on their head because they wanted to make that public announcement, but they were just terrified of getting their face wet. I am not going to grab their head and say, no, this is the way it's got to be. Gah! But I do take money from spouses who would like their other spouses to be held under a little bit longer. But you know, it's the word is immersion or submersion or dip into. So that's what we do. Is it a big deal if you just sprinkle? No, it's not a salvation issue. You're making a public identification of your life with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. I do believe that it is important, especially because Jesus said, make sure you do this, but it is actually the first act of obedience given by Jesus of the person to do. It is an act of being obedient. And if we can't be obedient in the simple act of becoming baptized, no matter what your issue is with it, I've had people say, I don't need to be baptized. I'm saved by grace. It's like, well, then you're being disobedient to one of the first things that Jesus said. It's an act of obedience. And if you can't be obedient in this, you're not going to be obedient in a lot of other things too. It is simply saying, you know what? I identify with my Savior. I am identifying with my Lord. I am telling everyone who is here that I am identifying with his death, with his burial, and his resurrection. And that's what baptism is. It's a great thing. It is not a salvation issue. It is not for infants. It's for kids who understand. It's for adults who understand. But the way that the procession always happened in the New Testament was preaching of the word, hearing of the word, acceptance of the word, repentance, turning to God, and then being baptized. That is the process. And it is for everyone who wants to be a believer, who wants to declare that they are a believer. Because you are a believer before you get into that water. That was one of the stipulations. So I hope that this helped. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. And I would like to say thank you to our music ministry team. Donzi and Pastor Lee and Angela are gone. And so I love the fact that we didn't have to shut down the church, that there are other people just ready to step in and do it. And Pastor Lee is the one who does the coffee in the mornings. And so we sent out an email and asked if anyone would like to make coffee so that people could have coffee. And nobody wanted to make coffee. So Brenda made coffee today for those. And Brenda doesn't drink coffee, people. So she was actually working out as a servant, serving you guys so that you could have your coffee. Okay. But, you know, that's the way we want to do things around here at New Hope. When someone is not able to do what God has called them to do, there's someone who's been in training that just steps right up and does it. That's what a beautiful picture of making disciples. Amen? That's what we are about here at New Hope Christian Center, making disciples. We are going to have a baptism because Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are about teaching people to be obedient to his word. Because if you're not obedient to his word, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. If you don't love me, you won't obey me. That's pretty black and white. Am I right? That is a pretty simple statement. So we do those things. We make disciples, we baptize, and we teach you to be obedient in most things. No, everything. Obedience is a key. And we teach that here at New Hope Christian Center. Amen? Please stand.